see the title of our lesson today kind of goes along with what you were just talking about, James, in the living in a hostile world, living in a hostile world. And I tell you, last week we learned that God has called us together in love in this unity that He's speaking about in the family of Christ. We're a family that God has brought together, and that love for each other, that love for God and that love for each other. In fact, that's our mission statement, love God, love others, that we love God, we love each other, and through that we love others. What a tremendous thing and privilege God has given us in that mission to take that out to the world. And so I want us to think, and through that love and through that what God has given us, that focus to love Him and to love others and to love each other as we come together and serve Him, we live in a hostile environment, okay? We live in a world that is quickly and more so turning hostile to Christianity. It's not easy to live the standard of Christ in today's world. And I want us to think about that as we're looking at First Peter, back in 1 Peter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 13 through 17. I pray that you have God's Word, whether electronically or one that you can put in your hand, but we're going to stand to reverence the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 13 through 17. The Word of God says this: "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than doing evil. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, dear God, that you'll touch our hearts with your word, that you'll challenge your people for your glory. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated." So we think about this Christian witness that he's going to be, he's telling us, listen, this church that he's writing to is under persecution. We've seen that all along. Under tremendous persecution for what? For just being followers of Jesus. When was the last time that you were persecuted for just being a Christian? You might say, well, somebody made fun of it. I'm talking about, think about, there's brothers and sisters in Christ around the world that are really putting their life on the line, that are losing their life for proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. We can't comprehend that, but we do understand that we are living in a hostile culture that's slowly and methodically turning its back on the things of God, on the things of Christ, and that it should cost us something to name the name of Christ. Can anybody say amen? It cost Him His life to come and save us. It should cost us to live for Him. So I want us to look at this challenge of living in a hostile world today. And I want us to think about what Peter's encouraging this church, but also encouraging us to do. And how is it that we can live the challenge of living in a hostile world? I want you first to understand it's a willingness to suffer. Look, willing to suffer. And what does verse 13 and 14 say? And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats nor troubled. Peter's saying, listen. And we talked about this a little bit this morning in our Sunday school class, that we none of us want to suffer, do we? None of us. We, in fact, our whole life is set apart for comfort. We don't think about, and we was talking about the will of God, understanding the will of God. And do you understand that sometimes the will of God will take you right into the midst of suffering? Peter said, really, it's in a section change right here where he's showing them, listen, suffering for righteousness' sake. This section that he's challenging his church to suffer for righteousness. Listen, it should cost us in a world that says, hey, there is no God, there is no Christ, do anything you want. It should cost us to stand and say, no, that is wrong. We believe in the standard of God's Word. We believe in what thus says the Word of God. This is what Jesus says, not my opinion, not what the government tells me, not what anybody else tells me, but what does God say? And what does the Word of God say? And Peter says you need to be willing to suffer. You need to be willing to stand upon the name. And so Peter begins with this challenge, and what he says, willing to suffer, it's a passion for goodness. What did he say? And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? And he said, have this passion for goodness. Most people, even those who are hostile to Christianity, are hesitant to attack those who are characterized by what? Generosity, by unselfishness, by kindness, and by a serving heart. You overcome evil with what? Good. Goodness. Be followers of goodness. We become followers of what is good. When we receive Christ, we're being passionate, listen, of what is good. And that goodness produces a godly life for us and a standard for us to walk by. But having this passion for goodness is not a guarantee that you won't suffer. You say, well, how do we know that? Let's take a good example. Jesus. You're talking about goodness. He was goodness. And what did it cost him? It cost him his life. Living, he was the perfect Son of God, sinless. We can't even comprehend that. But the Son of God came and gave his life, a sinless life. And what did they do? The hostile world turned on him and took his life. So this guarantee, this good life, is not a guarantee that you won't suffer. Christ is our greatest example of that. But listen, we cannot presume to escape all suffering because of our Lord. But he says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness, he says, you are blessed. Do you think of suffering as being blessed? Oh, I'm so blessed. I'm being persecuted this morning. We don't even think that way, do we? But he's saying, this is the Word of God, says, you are blessed when you stand on what is good, when you stand on what is right, when you stand on the standard of God, and you're persecuted for it. He said, that's a blessing unto you. Why is that a blessing? Because we're representing Christ, our King, in the midst of a hostile culture and world. We're representing Him. We're not going, you don't have to go look for it, by the way, okay? We're not out here stirring up the bee's nest, if you please. Poking the yellow jacket hole. How many know that if you poke a yellow jacket hole, it comes with consequences? You remember when you was little, did you ever have one of those siblings that said, go over there and poke in that hole? Did you ever have one of those? Sandy, you did, didn't you? What did it cost you? Several things, didn't it? Several. Go over there. If you poke in the hole, it will call. We don't go looking for persecution. We don't go looking for suffering. But when we stand on what is right in the midst of this world, it will find you. Can anybody say amen? It will find you. And he says, hey, I can't help but when we're reading this and thinking about the author, Peter, and he has to have flashbacks when the inspiration of God is speaking through him. And he says, don't fear. And do not be afraid of their threats or be troubled. Do you not think that when Peter's writing this to the inspiration of God that he goes back to the garden when the little servant girl recognized who he is and he's cussing and he said, no, I don't know him. Do you not think of that? So Peter knew what it was to fail miserably. But listen, he knew what it was to be forgiven greatly too, praise God. And we see God even using him and using him to say, listen, don't be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. He said, don't let it keep you from being what God has called you to be. He said, don't let their threats bother you. I want you to think about it. If we're going to understand this, when we're enthusiastic about doing good, when we're enthusiastic about living for the things of God, we are going to face persecution. We're going to face hostilities. We're going to face all these things. But Peter said, don't let that keep you from it. Don't let your comfort keep you from representing Christ out in the world. Oh, we don't like rock the boat. We just want, that's where we are now in our culture, in our society. We don't want to rock the boat. We want to come across as being tolerant and everything. But the truth is, you cannot be tolerant of everything. You cannot be tolerant of sin and stand upon the things of God. You cannot live the good and search for the good and not make a stand on what is right. You know what's right. The Scripture tells us what's right. And it comes with a cost. We don't like the cost. You know what we want? I just want everybody to like me. Come on. do. We just want everybody to like, but we don't want anybody to be upset with us and all these things. Again, we don't care. We don't go out here looking to make somebody upset. But if you stand upon the principles of God's Word, you're going to upset somebody. Have you ever upset anybody for standing for Jesus? Have you ever been slandered wrongfully for standing upon the things of Jesus? You know what Peter said? You're blessed. You're blessed. Because we think, and listen, if I'm living for the right, if I'm living for the good, that really I shouldn't have any pain or suffering. How can this be? How is it that if I stand for what's right, it's for your honor? Listen to what he says. Because we suffer, we live in a fallen world, and we suffer just like the rest of the world. Anybody say amen? We deal with sickness, we deal with disease, we deal with death, all these things that's in a regular world. But there's something past that kind of suffering. He's talking about for righteousness. A Christian also suffers for doing what's right and living for what's right. For righteous sake is what he says. There's a blessedness that accomplishes this. Blessed to be a part of the family of God. In fact, Paul would say in Galatians 3:20, I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the Son of God, I live by faith, son. I live by this faith. Why? Because I've been crucified with Christ. Have you been crucified with Christ? When we focus on Him, may all, listen, this same Paul would say in Philippians chapter 1, for me to live is what? Christ. And to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. Could you say that? What is it for you to live this morning? Is it for me to live as Christ? Or is it for me to live as school? For me to live as career? For me to live as money? For me to live as cars? For me to live as houses? For me to live as my 401k? What is it to you to live this morning? For me to live, only one word will give you fulfillment, and that's Christ. For me to live is Christ. Can we say that? Because when we do, you know what? We're not afraid of their threats. And we're not troubled by it. Because our life is marked and consumed with living for Him. The Roman culture, think about the Roman culture. They worshiped the Caesars. They worshiped those, look, the emperors that were in control. That's who they worshiped. So Christians didn't worship. Can you imagine the persecution that came when you are a worshiper of Christ only and this whole culture that surrounded you was worshiping other things? Are you, listen, you're surrounded by a culture that worships a lot of things. Are you worshiping Christ? Because it costs you when you do. And that's what he's telling them. Because be willing to suffer. But next, I want you to see a devotion to Christ. Look what it says in verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks, for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we're not only are we willing to suffer, but we have this devotion to Christ that we were talking about. And when we sanctify, what is that? That's a setting apart. We set apart Christ in our heart. That means He has the primary place in our life. That means, listen, when we live to please Him. We live to follow and seek His will. We live to go forward in Jesus' name, making a difference in this hostile world that we live in the time frame that He's given us. How do we do that? I want you to see everyone that asks for a reason. If somebody asks you why, and I want you to listen, it just stands to differ right here that you're living a life so different that it makes somebody say, What's going on? What's going on? What is this hope? What's this difference that I see? When the world's falling apart, you have this joy, you have this peace within you. What's going on? Are we getting asked that question? Because he just said that when somebody asks you, everyone that asks you, now this will scare you to death if you're one of them people that says, well, I'm uncomfortable with that. What are you uncomfortable with? If Christ is the center, if Christ is everything, if you've sanctified and set Him apart in your life, what's there to be comfortable? You don't have to have some rehearsed or some cliche or some religious jargon. We'll see that. Listen, I want you to play that out. Don't be afraid. Be prepared. Don't be afraid. Be prepared. And always be prepared, it says. To do what? Everyone, for everyone. Ooh, that's hard. To be prepared. Everyone that asks me? Let's think that. Let's look at, for just a few moments, being prepared to tell people daily about the hope that you have in you. Well, what? Let's think of some things. First, it's a matter of the heart. Matter of the heart. It says, sanctify the Lord in our hearts. It's the essence of who we are. I don't have any problem talking about that. It does something for you. Let me tell you, let me just share a little bit. When I fell in love with this woman right here, met her at church, fell in love with her the first time I saw her. I know you say, oh, I didn't believe it either, but I did. I bored my friends to death talking about her before we even got together. It didn't matter where you go, you can ask them about it. I was talking about Sandy. I told my one friend, I said, I'm going to marry that woman. She didn't even know me yet. Look, why? I didn't have no problem because it was a matter of my heart. Guess what? I didn't have to set up a time that I'm going to go out and tell somebody about Sandy. I just told them about everybody I come in contact with, okay? I didn't have to read a pamphlet on how do I share about being in love with Sandy. Come on, it's comical. Because we think that, and more training and all this, we just need to fall in love with Jesus. It's a matter of heart. A matter of our heart. Just follow it. Just be so overwhelmed with Him. We go out and we share wherever we are. We tell people about this Savior that loves us and can love them. Wow. It's a matter of our heart. We don't need another program. We just need to fall in love with Jesus. It's the compelling power of our hearts. We really need a spiritual EKG this morning. See how our heart's doing. We fall in love with Him, you won't have no problem sharing and telling people about it. So it's not just a matter of the heart, but it's a matter of obedience. What does it say? Always be ready to give a defense for the hope in us. Jesus tells us, always be ready. So He's commanded us to go in Matthew chapter 28. He's saying, go, or as you're going, be prepared to do what? Just tell people about this person you're in love with from your heart. Be obedient with Him. He said, hey, here's the question is, does the average Christian even witness? Do we even tell people about Christ? Do we even take the opportunity? I'm afraid that we're so caught up in our day, in our world, in the things that's going on, that we miss out on the opportunities every day to share the hope that's within us. And it's not something plastic. It's not something uncomfortable. It's something that's coming out of a love out of your heart that you just said, let me tell you about what He's done for me. How difficult can that be? We make it into something so plastic and so just religious jargon many times. The world don't care anything about that, by the way. They don't care anything about hearing something that you have to count. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with those things and preparing us, but if that's all we're caught up in, they're not seeing your heart, buddy. They're not seeing that love. And listen, when we're obedient to God, it's around you all the time. Just look for those opportunities. Why? What does that song say? People need the Lord. Every day they pass me by. And it gets racked people, lonely people racked with care going who knows where. People need the Lord. Do you understand that? People need the Lord. And He's called you to share. He's called each and every one of us. Because look, next is careful study. To give a defense for the hope in us. That word defense actually is reason, and we get our word logical from. We get our word logical from. So it's engaging the mind. And we all study things. We all can answer. Listen, I'm back on trivia crack again, okay? Yes, the air did that to me. Got me back on trivia. You learn all these questions, and what good? But you have all these answers and stuff, right? I love that kind of thing. We're all studying to learn something. We are. Can we not be a student of Jesus? Can we not learn about Him? You say, well, back to the heart again. Back to the heart again. When you're in love, you don't have any problem spending time. When you're in love, you don't have any problem investing. When you're in love, we study to learn these things. We become a student of the things of Christ. And because of that, it demands consideration, which is the last thing. Consideration, look what he says. He finishes it with meekness and fear. With meekness and fear. What's he saying? Treat all people with respect. I want you to understand something. You never, as a child of God, have a reason or a platform to treat people without respect. Especially your brothers and sisters in Christ, but beyond that, the people outside these doors. You don't disrespect anybody. You respect them. You treat them with meekness. And he says, and fear. This idea of being humble and respect them. Why? Because Christ is our greatest example again. We need to be real, don't we? We need to show respect. We need to love them enough and respect them enough that we share Christ in the way that we live and the words of our mouth. Willing to suffer, devotion to Christ, but lastly, a good conscience. Look at verses 16 and 17. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than doing evil. So the final thing he said that allows these believers, that allows us to be secure in a hostile world is a good conscience. A good or a clear conscience allows believers to be free from all burden of guilt as they face hostility of criticism from the world. Do you have a good conscience this morning? You should live in such a way that when you're spoken of badly or slandered, insulted, that those that do that to you are ashamed because you're living in such a good life. You treat them with such respect. You have so much meekness and humility. We should rejoice that we're worthy to suffer shame for the name. And look how he finishes up this section. He said, it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Listen, anybody can go out here and be some stick in the mud, cannot represent Christ, can be fussing and ill, but living by the world standard, doing anything you want to, and suffer for that. He said, that's not what he's calling us to suffer for. We don't have no problem with that, by the way, in our human natures and our flesh. We don't have any problem. But he said, you need to suffer for doing good, for standing on what's right, for making right choices, to be a person of your word. When you're out here in the community and you're working on your job, you're representing Christ. You're not taking advantage of people. You're not charging them more than they're supposed to. You're living for Christ. We're representing Him. And listen, when we stand on Jesus' name and we do what's right and the world don't live in that bubble, by the way, and you'll be poked at and prodded at and made fun of because you stand for what is right. Have you ever been somebody just say, you're judging me? You've heard me say this before. Well, you're judging me and you've not even said a word. Come on, Dave, let's go party. We got some drinks. We'll go out here. We'll go out here to these certain bars and look at certain things. Why don't you come? I'm not going to do that. I don't drink. I don't go to any places. Well, you're judging me. All I said was what I didn't do. I didn't say that that's what you're supposed to do. Has anybody else experienced that? You're judging me by standing for what's right. Listen. Would to God that that would be for all of us. That when in the influences of this world, which are strong, that when the time came for us to make a choice, you know what we did? We pointed to Jesus. He said, you know, I don't do that. That's what will get them coming around saying, "What? Tell me about this hope. Tell me about this, you're living by this standard. Explain to me what it is you have." Most of them will say, you must be a religious man. I'm not religious. Do you understand this morning? I'm not religious. I'm in a relationship with a living God through Jesus Christ. There's plenty of religions, plenty of humanistic religions. I'm not in a religion. I'm in a relationship through Jesus Christ to the living God. And that living God wrote me a book. Oh, God can write a book? You better believe He can. And He sent it to us and He said, this is the standard. You don't have to worry about or wonder about what it is that I'm asking of you. I wrote you a book. And through the Holy Spirit, you can understand what it is God has for your life. You know what I told my Sunday school class today? I said, you can understand and be in the will of God. How? By living in obedience. Living in obedience daily. You can live out the will of God through obedience because He's called each and every one of us to do that. He's called you. Adversity is a reality and suffering is a spiritual privilege for all believers. God causes all things to work to good. Does He not? Romans 8:28. And we know He's called all these things to work for good for those that love God according to what? His purpose. His purpose. It might not be your purpose and you might not understand that purpose, but He didn't say that. He said, I'm working it out to my purpose. And even when you scratch your head or the pain comes and you're hurting and you don't understand, you can believe the promises of God because it says, I'm working it out for my purpose. Man, that'll free you up to live in the freedom of God. Understanding that suffering is a part of living for God in a hostile world. Applications will be done. Come and play, Sarah. Number one, have you ever suffered for the name of Christ? Just be honest. Have you ever suffered for the name of Christ? Number two, are you a faithful witness? Number three, how's your conscience? How's your conscience? Stand to your feet, please. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Bow your heads before the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not going to tarry long on it. Do you have a relationship with God through the living Christ? Do you have that relationship? Do you know that your life's been changed? If you looked into the mirror of God's Word, you could see that your life does not go by how the world lives, but you live by the standards of God. Not perfect, but forgiven. Do you know that you've come to that place in your life that you gave Christ your life? You asked Him into your heart. You asked Him to forgive you. And you changed. Your life changed. Not just going through a routine or mouthing off something, but your life changed because the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell in you. If you don't, you're lost this morning. Christ wants to save you today. Is there anybody here, heads are bowed, nobody's looking around, that raise your hand and say, you know what, preacher, pray for me. I'm lost. I've never received Christ as my personal Savior. Anybody? Well, then by your testimony then, you're all Christians and know Jesus. Now, let me ask you this. When was the last time you told and shared that with somebody? The Lord knows. Is your conscience clear that you know, hey, my life is set apart? Because listen, just like that song is playing, people know the Lord, need the Lord. People need the Lord. They pass you by every day. Do you even consider that? What is God saying to you? The altar is open if you need to pray and talk to Him. Just a few minutes before the Lord. Is your conscience clear? People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the only source. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives? I just made up a new song. It says, when will we realize that we must give our lives because people need the Lord? Amen. Listen, glad you're here. You don't have to walk an aisle, by the way, to just give your heart to Christ. If you came to that point in your life and you realize, that's me, All you have to do is ask God to forgive you. In Jesus' name, I receive Christ as my Savior. I repent of my sins. And the Bible says that all those that call upon the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. But you'll let somebody know. So glad that you're here. Come back this evening. We'll be digging deeper into God's Word, have some finger food and fellowship. A great time. Lee, close us, please.
Father,